Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight we're riding tear-free to the fullest with our friend Shirley, who is sure to make your jaw drop and skin crawl. Trust me, guys. Before Shirley scares the blanket right off of you, I want to say thank you so much for being by my side during the last episode, Tissues and Ice Cream, and for all of your condolences, sweet words of encouragement, love and light, and all things beautiful. I know how helpless I feel when someone I know has lost a loved one, and I don't quite know what to say or do. So I end up sitting there with a very crooked look on my face as I will the right words to magically appear. I will tell you that every word you guys sent my way really made my heart and soul feel so, so much better. You guys jumped in to have my back at a very down and dark time, and I don't know how to ever properly thank you for that. I really ultimately hope that that episode helped at least one of you to feel less alone during a dark and down time, and that's really what it's all about. So, can I ever properly thank you for all of your love and support? I highly doubt it. But I'm going to try by doling out another awesome episode because that is what we do here. Before we get into the goodness, don't forget to hang with me on Twitter at Media Matters and on Instagram at The Media Matters, where we can connect all the live long day. And if that's just not enough, come hang with me on YouTube on my So Chantel channel. That is all things behind the scenes. And I do mean all. You can also find the channel on Instagram at So Chantel and hang with me there in case, you know, the other social media platforms are just not enough. Now, I know I've been MIA from social media for the last couple of weeks, and that is a direct result of the loss that my family and I experienced. But have no fear, I am staging a comeback because I miss you guys so much, and that's our way to connect in between episodes, you know? And let's face it, I am mildly obsessed with you guys. It's a shocker, I know. So all of that said, it's time to put your dolls away and pray they don't find their way out of the glass case covered in crosses. Confused? You're about to see the light, or rather the dark. I will preface this portion of the episode by saying it is in its raw form, which is very, very lightly edited. There were some unfamiliar sounds during the initial playback before I attempted to edit, and any attempts to correct the sound quality took those noises away. So I chose to leave the recording as is in hopes that you guys will be able to hear the noises for yourselves. Hopefully you can. So I just want you to understand why the sound quality is not fantastic, because we recorded this via Skype. I was on one side, our friend Shirley was on the other. So now you know. Ready? Here we go.
All right, friends, as promised, I have a very special treat. I have our wonderful friend to the show, Shirley, and Shirley has so many fantastic stories to share with us, and I don't know very many of these, so I can't wait to hear. Shirley, welcome to the show. Thank you so, so much for joining us. I can't even tell you how excited I am right now.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I have listened to you and my children, my friends all know the ghost story, that you're the only one other than, you know, outside of my people that wouldn't think I was nuts that I've actually told the story. When you tell people you grew up in a haunted house, they're like, yes, sure.
Yeah, it doesn't always go over very well, does it?
No. You be careful of who you tell what.
Yes, I too have learned that, but you're always safe here, always.
Yeah, after listening to a few of your podcasts, I'm like, oh, she would understand. Yes.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I have that shoulder, like the ghost story shoulder. And I'm happy for it. I mean, I know so many people have these experiences, and it can be really scary because when you feel like you don't have an outlet and somebody that understands, it's really isolating. So
yes.
I mean, that was a lot of the drive behind putting the podcast together, is that I know for a long time I felt really isolated, and I mean, I just went on with life because it was just very normal for me. But I know a lot of people, you know, it could be really just debilitating in a way, because you're like, this is such a huge part of my life. It happens all the time. If I can't talk about it, what do I talk about? And no one knows the real me. And so it was liberating to be able to start talking about that out loud and just say like, oh, hey, yeah, I can do this. And, you know, I was still nervous at the beginning. And I think it was Marie that said, well, you're now broadcasting to the world. So I was like, oh, yeah, good point.
I'm not crazy, I promise.
I know. It's a lot. So how much, like, for you personally, how far back do your experiences go? Because I know we're going to talk about your family home, but I guess aside from your family home, unless, like, you've lived there all your life, how far back do your experiences go?
Well, here's where I think it can get a little odd with my family, because I really think all of this has just always been so natural throughout my entire childhood that it was just nothing. Like, I didn't see abnormal growing up until I got older and sometimes would share a story with, you know, a new friend or even, you know, some of our relatives, and they would just kind of give you that side eye look and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, you have an experience this too? You mean not all houses are like this?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and I think, especially on my grandmother's side of the family, we've always had a very tight connection with the, you know, with the other side. So I think when you, especially as a child, we're so open to experiences and we don't tend to question a lot of what's around us because it is so normal to us that you don't realize how unique everything is. You know, again, until you get older and start, you know, sharing your stories and seeing the reactions of other people.
Right.
But I was lucky, you know, because I had my mom, who definitely knew we lived in a haunted house. And so I had that connection with her. Now, some of the other stuff that happened in my childhood, she'd be like, I don't know. And it wasn't until things just kept happening that she'd be like, oh, well, you know, maybe you do have a little bit more of a gift. Just living in a haunted house. Yeah, I don't claim to be anything other than who I am, you know. So, for instance, I guess in our house, like I said, there's three main ghosts. You have John, who's the protector, and we named him that just because it felt right. So hearing his footsteps throughout the house was just always normal. Then you have Terry. Oh, this is so going to age me. Do you remember or did you ever see Three's Company?
I've watched it before.
Okay. So when the character Chrissy Snow, Suzanne Summers, left, they replaced her. And that, to me, is what the ghost looked like. And the character's name was Terry, so I just always called her Terry. Now, Delilah's a totally different story. She told us her name. But for the longest, we didn't know her name. We just kind of played nice with her. But the ghosts have always been there. Like, you always had a sense of someone watching you. And most of the time, it was really protective and loving. Not always, because they do feed off negative energy. You know, like any typical family, we sometimes had our issues, and Delilah loved that. But, you know, I just seeing someone sitting at the foot of your bed was just never, I thought everybody had their little angel watching them. It was just never a big deal until sometimes, now I have noticed that with our family that was something, you know, supernatural would happen, it would always be me and my mom. They would come tell the story to you because they knew we would believe them. We wouldn't scoff or, you know, give them the side eye or anything like that. So that was always really interesting.
Nice. It is helpful. Like we were saying at the beginning of the conversation, that it is nice to have someone that you can talk to and know that you're not going to be criticized and yeah. made fun of or made to feel like, you know, you're completely crazy. So how long has your family lived in this house?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So they moved in when I was a year old, and I am 47 now. Well, 47, 40. Isn't it sad? I forget my own age. I feel like I'm younger.
After 25, it doesn't even matter anymore.
Exactly. It's literally in how you feel. When I wake up, I feel 90 after coffee in my 20s.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. Or bad weather rolls in, or...
Exactly. Wow. So
that
yeah,
is a
I
long
mean,
time. So are you still in that house right now?
My mom is. Okay. Yeah. In fact, she's still there, but me and my daughter were just talking about some of the odd stuff that happens. Because my dad passed away March 7th of last year. So we're coming up close on his 1 year death anniversary. And so she now lives there alone. And my aunt, I don't know why families do this. They love to try to torment you. So my aunt has this habit of telling my mom, oh, I bet someone's in your house and they're just hiding.
Oh,
and
I'm God.
Like, no, mom, you know it's the ghost. So when dad died, his big thing was take care of my dog. I mean, he loved his dog, Penny. That was his baby. He liked the rest of us, but he really loved his dog.
I understand that completely.
Oh, yeah. I completely am right there with him. So when, like, just last week, we're both about, I'm 4'11". My poor mom is, like, 4'9", 4'10". And she's trying to plug in the heater, and it will not plug in. Just, she can't reach it. So she's like, well, I'll handle it when I come back from doing errands. So she walks in the door, and the heater is plugged up, and the house is nice and warm, not overheated, nothing dangerous, just toasty the way she, you know, it needed to be.
Wow.
And she's like, I don't know what happened. I was like, yeah, mom, that is dad telling you not to kill his dog.
Still looking out for the dog.
You left the house with it cold, and he just couldn't have that. But little stuff like that has been happening since he died, you know, and it's just, it's really nice and comforting. And, you know, every time she gets scared, I'm like, why are you scared? Dad is still there watching over you. He is not going to let anything happen to you. I mean, don't test the water to go out at 3 a.m. by yourself, but, you know.
No kidding.
As long as you're inside, doors are locked, the dog is safe, we're all good.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And it's the neat little stuff that's happened even, you know, throughout the year like that. I mean, and even when, you know, he first died, bless her heart, he died on Thursday. She went into the hospital with the flu and pneumonia that Saturday. And as the ambulance is taking her out the door, I was like, Dad, I know you love her, but nope, you can't have her.
Yeah, no, we're not ready, and we'll speak for her. She's not ready.
It's not going to happen. You can stay here as long as you want. We're always going to love you and support you and need you, but nope, you cannot have mom. You
know? No, I understand. I would have had the same conversation with him.
Like, you are welcome to stay, but no. Mm-mm. I was who's going to take care of Penny? You really want me to take her home?
Oh, yeah. So since he's been gone, the stuff that's been happening at the house is mild in nature and doesn't scare her, it sounds like.
Well, at first, I think Delilah was trying to have a little bit of fun. I mean, Delilah's just mean. So, of course, you know, she kind of tried to draw from the negative energy that was there. And she would kind of push you into a wall, like, even when we were there. Because, like I said, she went into the hospital Saturday, so we stayed there to take care of the pets. And, you know, it just helped get, you know, Dad's stuff in order and everything. And she, I guess because I've dealt with her for so long that she knows not to mess with me. But she tried little things with my daughter, who's very intimidated by Delilah. So Delilah, you know, shoved Sierra into a wall. Or Sierra, is that how you use your name?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
After the fact. Hi, Sierra.
She says hi. So, you know, she would do little stuff to try to antagonize us, but I just, you know, we don't put up with it. I think by that time, Sierra had enough of her, too.
Oh, I had to talk with her.
What, Sierra?
I had to talk with her.
Oh, yeah, Sierra said, I had to talk with her.
So, and you have to sometimes. You have to set some healthy boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Sierra had, and I had pre-warned my kids before, so a few years ago, we had went down to visit my family, and they had never stayed the night with my family, simply because, well, both me and my husband are blind. My daughter's blind, so traveling back then with three children was really costly.
Oh, wow.
And so to get to the Galveston area just didn't have a whole lot of transportation opportunities. It's much easier now. So now it's more affordable and easier to get to. Plus, one of my son drives, so woohoo!
Yeah, no kidding.
I had to warn them. They'd heard all my ghost stories growing up. And, you know, I've always pre-warned anyone going into the house, if you're going to stay the night, there are ghosts. So if you hear, you know, banging around, or if you feel someone shove you, you just have to be firm, because she's not going to stop. Delilah wants to see just how far she can push you. I was like, but if you hear the boots, it's just John. He's good. He's making sure nothing really bad happens. So we get there, and my mom is obsessed with stuff. I mean, she has knickknacks, and I mean, just everywhere you turn, there's something there. But in her bedroom, are you ready for this? Because I know you're going to love it. Are nothing but lots and lots of dolls.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, God, I just got, like, the chills.
Exactly. And my mom, for some reason, even though I've told her, ever since my daughter was born, we don't do dolls. Stuffed animals are okay as long as they're fluffy and cute and don't look too weird. But dolls, no. But mom was insistent that she'd collect all these dolls for my daughter. So she thought, it's going to be fun to put both of my girls into the doll room. And my girls were like, we really don't like dolls. And mom's like, oh, but these are nice dolls, and you're going to inherit them when I die.
Oh, no. No.
Like, when you die, I was like, don't take it personally, but we're going to burn them. I was like, in fact, we're just going to take all the pets out, and we're just going to burn the entire house. Like sage and lavender on this whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So Sierra and Beth go in this room.
I have my sight back then.
Oh, yeah. Sierra is now blind, but she had her vision back then. And then Beth, I call her, so I have three children biologically. I have two boys and my daughter. And then I have what I call my three heart children. So Beth's mom died of cancer when she was 12. So me and another friend of mine took over, and we just shared custody of her. So half the time she stayed with the other mom, and then the other time she would come stay with me. And so Beth and Sierra in this doll room, and they turned all the dolls away from facing them. They just turned them completely around. Then they take, thank God she's obsessed with stuff. So they got all these big, heavy blankets and piled them, like, all over the dolls. And Sierra's like, that's the only way I'm going to sleep in this room. That's just it. So she, bless her heart, they stayed up until they really just had no choice. So they go in there, and they go to bed, and when they wake up, not only are all the dolls uncovered,
but they're facing out.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
And then one is laying on the end of the bed, staring at him with no hair. No hair. Bald.
Oh, hell no. Nope. I'd be like, get your stuff. We're leaving right now. No. That is not okay. Oh, my God.
It had hair before.
Yeah, she's like,
I thought it was attached.
Yeah, she's like, it had hair before. I thought it was attached. Did y'all ever even find the hair?
I think so, but I wasn't going to touch it.
She's like, I think so, but I wasn't going to touch it.
No, smart girl. Smart girl. No. Oh, my gosh.
Needless to say, we never, ever stay in that room. Never. I mean, it's just...
Are the dolls still in the room?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Yep. She's added a few more to it. And
every
time she got a new doll, I'm like, you know it's going to go in the fire, right? I'm like, why don't you just start selling the dolls now and use that money, you know, for yourself? I was like, take a vacation, go buy yourself something or do anything, because I'm telling you, we're not touching them.
Yeah, I am totally with you. And you know what's funny is, like, just yesterday, I think, my fiance and I were standing in the garage and we're talking about storage, and we want to put some cabinets in there for storage. And we have a storage unit right now, and his mom's things are in there because, you know, she moved here, and long story. But he was saying to me, so you know, I'm pretty sure the dolls are going to end up here. I was like, hell no, they're not. Like, no, they're not. Even if they're in the garage, they're way too close. Like, that does not work for me. I cannot. I can't get down with that. No. There. Yes, and they're so lifelike. Yeah. Like, they look very lifelike, like tiny people with porcelain faces, and I'm not okay with it. I want no part of it. So I'm like, no, those dolls, like, she may have to move out into her own home to have a place for these damn dolls, because it's not happening. I cannot do it. So I totally understand, and I respect anyone who feels great dislike for dolls.
I can't even. And I'm like, how? I was like, Mom, you've lived here. How can you be? So I was trying to one day explain to her why we hated dolls so much. And I was like, so, Mom, I was like, do you not understand that stuff like that can hold its own energy? I was like, you live in a haunted house. How do you not know this? And she's like, well, I fooled myself into thinking that I'm just a little crazy and it never happened.
Oh,
and she's like, and then I talk to you and you keep busting my bubble.
You snap her right back into reality. Oh, no. No, no, no. I cannot. That would have been the last shot for me. And I would have said, I love you, Mom, parents, everyone in this home, but I'm not coming back. So if you want to see me, you're going to have to come to me.
Well, we keep saying we're going to go back, but I've already pre-warned her we are not staying with you.
No.
I was like, I love you, I love you, I love you. But no, no.
But do you guys know the history of the house? Like, I mean, you've lived there since you were a baby. Did your parents ever find out what was going on with the house? Because, I mean, this has been going on for a long time and maybe even predates them living in the house? Or were they like the very first original owners?
No, and that's just it. We know from the history that it used to be an army barracks, and then it was turned into a boarding house. And then right before they bought it, it was converted into, you know, the two small bedroom house it is now. But anytime I try to look up the history, I mean, there's nothing really there, you know. I mean, I can't find anything significant that would have happened. I mean, I say that there's three ghosts, but I've always kind of believed that Terry was more of a guardian angel.
Right.
Because, like I said, she's always, always in there. I never had a name for her, but she was always there. So she's really unique in how she would do things. So, like I said, Delilah has always been mean. So even like growing up, Delilah would feed on really negative energy, and I love my dad. So I will go ahead and just say that now. I love, love, love my dad, but he was not always an easy man to live with. So anytime there was negative energy, that's when you would see more activity around. So she would, so my room, of course, as you know, there's usually one particular room that has more activity than most, and that was unfortunately my room. So Terry would, I still think it's really creative ways of getting me out of the room sometimes when things would just get really heavy or really cold. I would hear my mom call me, and I'd walk out of the room and say, "What do you need, Mom?" She'd be like, "Well, I didn't call you."
Oh.
But it would be so persistent. I mean, it would be like, "Shirley," you know, when they use your full name, "Shirley Jean, come in here."
I'm like, "Oh, God, she knows."
"What, Mom?" And she's like, I didn't call you. And I was like, "Oof, okay." I knew. I just needed to kind of stay out of the room, let it kind of clear. This is, you know, back when I was, you know, even 6 or 7. I didn't know back then of lavender and sage. I didn't know any ways to clear the room. I just knew that when Terry said leave, you left for a while. You know, that meant sleeping with my mom or dad or sleeping on the couch, and that's what I would do. And even as I got older, we had a dog named Jackie who didn't think he was a dog. He was a pit bull. And we treated him so much like a child that he really thought he was a child. But Jackie would get so persistent that I could not go back in the room. He would just cry and cry and cry and would not come in there when it was heavy or dark. And so there was quite a few times me and Jackie had to curl up on the couch because that's the only way he would stop crying.
Oh, wow.
Was to get me out of that room. Animals are very, very sensitive to, at least from my observations, they're very sensitive to negative energy. And he especially, I mean, we always had pets growing up, but I think Jackie especially was more sensitive because we had that strong connection and bond with him that he could tell more easily than, you know, some of the other pets we had in the past. Jackie just knew. Wow. So it was always really interesting. But, you know, we would pre-warn anybody that came over, you know, this is a haunted house. So if you feel anything or, you know, see anything, this is what it was. They didn't really ever, except for an occasional shadow, because I didn't lose my vision until I was 15. So all the way up until I was 15, I would have, you would occasionally see, and I couldn't tell you what John looks like. We never saw him, never even glimpsed him. if even Terry would more come to you, like you would wake up and see like a quick flash of her at the end of the bed, or you would see her, you know, trying to guide you outside real quick to look at something. So we knew to trust her. But Delilah, I don't think I ever saw her. She was always more of a dark energy. Like, you know, you would see this dark shadow, you know, sometimes in the corner of the room.
Mm-mm.
Or under the table in the dining room would look a lot darker than it did, you know.
You're like, that's but, odd. It's sunny, but.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going in there, you know.
Wow. So you grew up knowing all three of these energies?
Yeah, always.
Wow. Yeah,
always in those three. Always in those three. You know, and even when I moved, I went around talking to the house. And, of course, Dad was laughing at me. But I was like, okay, Terry, I'm going to leave you here with my mom. And you need to make sure you take really good care of her. And I said, and if Delilah needs to be mean, let her take on Dad. I think she can handle her. But y'all need to leave Mom alone. You need to protect her and make sure she stays safe.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
So I would call and I was like, okay, is Terry taking care of you? Or, you know, she, I think she always has because, you know, for a long time, I mean, like I said, Dad was not an easy man to live with. And so the best way they found to survive their marriage is he lived next door in the RV and she lived in the house, and it worked for them, you know, because they then had their own space. And after that happened, well, when he first moved, I said, you're not going to believe me now. I was like, but you need to trust me because Delilah loves really negative energy. And I said, and with Dad gone, but not gone, you're going to feel so much more at peace. And you're going to find that you're going to see, I was like, she's not going to be able to do all the heavy stuff she can do. Like, she can push pretty hard. And her favorite thing in the world is to bop you over the head as hard as she can. And
really?
It hurts. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's how we knew her name. So we invited him in middle school. We invited my best friend Debbie over to spend the night. So again, we gave Debbie the same usual pep talk of, you know, the house is haunted, blah, blah, blah. And Debbie was a rather unique character. Like, she really, you know, these people that are so interested in the supernatural, but because they've never experienced it, they truly don't know what they're getting into.
Right.
So they tend to kind of play with fire. And she's like, let me bring up a Ouija board. And I was like, oh, no, not in this house.
<Mm-mm>.
We have enough in this house. We're all filled up.
Yeah, we don't need to open any more gateways. Just leave that alone.
So she's like, okay. So she's like, well, let's tell ghost stories. I was like, this is usually not the place you want to do that at. But, you know. So we're telling her about the ghost. And Delilah, for the most part, was kind of on her best behavior. I mean, she pushed Debbie up against the wall. But Debbie, of course, thought she had just tripped. And we let her think that. She took Debbie's shoes and put them outside. And I was like, well. Debbie got excited. And she's like, I like Delilah. She's a prankster. And I'm thinking, well, that's one way to look at it. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, we need to name her. So we were all sitting in the living room, me and Mom and Debbie, and we're coming up and, no offense to anyone listening, these are not bad names, I swear, but they're what we perceived as witchy names, you know, Gertrude and Agnes and, you know.
Right.
So I cannot explain the feeling. I mean, it was like someone just drugged us heavy with some kind of sleeping pill because we were so incredibly tired. And the room was freezing. I mean, it was a I remember exactly. It was in April. It was spring. It was gorgeous outside. But in that room was, I mean, it just dropped like a switch.
And you're saying and this is April in Texas.
April in Texas.
Yeah, so it is not
we're
like
talking about,
upstate New York,
you know,
or, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
We're talking, you know, 70, 80 degrees outside. I mean, a gorgeous day. And we just, I mean, it was like someone just opened up the freezer. And I told them when it first started happening, I was like, oh, I think we made our match, y'all. But about that time, we were out. Just out.
Everyone.
And then everybody.
Oh, my
we
gosh.
We literally fell asleep where we were sitting. You could not move. And we all woke up, and every single one of us had splitting headaches. And I said, well, it's what we get for teasing her. And Mom said, did she tell you her name, too? And Debbie goes, Delilah. And I said, yep. Delilah, we will for now on for sure call you Delilah, I promise.
Wow, that is really,
we get it.
That's scary. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's definitely very powerful, and I think she's lost some of her power because, again, the energy isn't so negative like it used to be. She still likes to do her little pranks, but she loves to, my mom is blind, so she loves to move her stuff constantly. Mom will put it down. Well, shoot, anyone that goes in the house, you can put stuff down and it will be gone before you know it because she's moved it. And she'll move it. And you would think you would notice it. So it's not like you turn around, there's something floating in the air. It's just gone.
Wow.
Like you never touched it, just gone. So now she does more annoying little pranks. She still will shove you into the wall, but because she doesn't have a whole lot of energy, it's more of a nudge.
Wow.
More of her tripping you. But, you know, and I keep trying to tell Mom, I'm like, if you will just let me stage the place and let me, you know, put some crystal around and, you know, we'll put some white lavender and, but she's so afraid of what it will do.
Mm-hmm.
And someone not being there to protect her. And I'm not staying in the house.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. I definitely, you know, and it would really, the best person to do that would be your mom, since it's her home and,
yeah,
you know, she would want to be the one to establish those boundaries and to do that really deep cleaning. But that is really scary. Do you remember your first memory of Delilah?
Oh my gosh. Like I said, she's always been around. So like even, you know, 3-4 years old, you know, stuff would just get knocked off my table, or the radio would be on and she would switch it to, I mean, we call it old music now, but it was, you know, music back in the, you know, 30s and 40s seemed to be mm-hmm. her favorites, like really the old classics.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kept it on that station, we were good. So I kind of did a little compromise with her. I would play my music, and then before I went to bed, I would put it on something I thought she would like, so it kind of worked. I mean, but she loved to, you couldn't show a whole lot of real attachment to stuff because if she thought you were attached to it, it would be gone. So you kind of had to pretend like everything was just nonchalant and
wow.
It didn't hold a whole lot of importance, which they got not materialistic anyway. So
wow. Thank God.
So it kind of worked out, but you know, she definitely knew how to play. Like I said, when you grow up with it, it becomes so norm that I never, you know, she was just Delilah, just the mean one. You know, you knew the mean one versus the good one. You know, so she would hide your stuff or push you or now there was one time I was, how old was I? Let's see, I'd already lost my vision, so I was about 17. So I had been getting on to her about, getting on to Lila about something, because Mom had this cut on her, and I knew Delilah had done something to cause it, and so I would always jump on her, you know. But we had Dad and Mom and the family was hanging out in the garage, which was not attached to the house. And I had stayed in the house and was reading. And I was sitting in this big armchair in the living room. And so I'd come back from a birthday party and had those, what are they called there? The balloons that float, is it halogen?
The Mylar balloons?
Yes. Those are it. So I've had a few of those balloons floating around from the party. Oh, well, hold on. Let me back up a little bit. So at the time that I went to this party, I had dropped off these balloons at my parents' house. And this is, you know, like I said, it totally dates us because this is before cell phones were even a thought in someone's mind probably. But I had called my mom from my friend's house and said, I'm good, I'm safe, everything's okay. And she said, your balloons are really creeping me out. And I said, what are they doing? She said, I managed to pop two, but this third one will not go anywhere. She's like, and it's hanging out by me. Like every time she moved, this balloon would like follow her around the house.
Mm-mm.
And I said, well, Mom, I said, maybe that's just Terry protecting you. And she goes, I don't think so. She said, because the string keeps wrapping around my neck.
Oh, no.
Dad, of course, was like, well, I'll just cut the string off. So he cuts it off a little bit. And so it's not long enough to go around her neck anymore, but it's just long enough to keep bopping her head and, you know, hitting her nose and just tormenting her. And every time he would go to try to grab this balloon to pop it, it would float away from him. And so she's like, I hope you have fun tonight because she's not happy you're gone. So it kept hanging out by the phone when she went to bed. She said every time she got up, it would be there by the phone. And she's like, I wonder if something's wrong with Shirley. She's like, but I'm not going to call her. I'm not going to keep bugging her. So the next day I come home, and I'm like, Mom, you know, that was just Delilah making you worry about me. And she said, well, yeah, but she's like, but it really worried me. She said, I just had this feeling there was something wrong. And I was like, it was just Delilah being mean, just giving you something to worry about. You cut her string, so she couldn't hurt you. So this is a way of making you worry about me.
Oh, my goodness. So
poor Mom was chopping up something, and she said she still doesn't know how it happened, but the knife slipped. She's like, I don't know how it slipped. I had a good grip on it. There was nothing wet, nothing. But, again, probably just Delilah being mean. So I had already jumped on Delilah for worrying my poor mom and making her scared. And so they're all outside hanging out with family and friends in the garage, and I'm sitting inside reading a good book. And I get real sleepy. And I didn't think of you because, again, you know, stayed up all night at a girlfriend's party. And so I go to sleep in the chair. Now, the both back door and front door, I know for a fact were unlocked because people were running in and out, you know, throughout the night to go to the bathroom. Well, my uncle comes in to go to the bathroom, and the back door is locked. So he goes around to the front, and that's locked. And so he's banging on the door trying to get me to wake up, and I never heard him, never heard a single thing. I was out for the count. So he goes and tells my dad. He's like, I can't get the doors open. So dad goes in there with his key, and the entire house is filled with gas.
Oh, my gosh.
He has turned on 3 of the 4 burners of our gas stove. And, yeah, it was...
Oh, my gosh.
So that was the... That's probably the scariest... I mean, the real scariest story I've ever had. So I... You know, you don't jump on Delilah.
That is not okay. Oh, my God. So have you, with all the history that you and your family have with Delilah and her being negative and attracted to negativity and that type of energy, have you and your family ever attempted to perform any kind of official communication, like having someone come in and help you communicate with her to try to find out what it is that she wants or why she behaves this way or anything along those lines?
I have always wanted to, but mom is so afraid of making her mad that because, like I said, she's kind of toned it down a lot, that she just doesn't want to rile her up anymore.
Right.
I've tried doing that for years and years. I'm like, you know, maybe we can see what's wrong, send her on her lovely way. John could stay if he wants to. I was like, you know, but maybe she's mad because she is trapped. You know, I was like, maybe, you know, I don't know what her story is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to mom. You know, and she's finally at a place where she's more comfortable. Well, she just really wants to move. She hates the house.
Wow. Especially being on her own now. I'm sure it's really tough to be there by herself all the time. But it just...
But it's more the devil you know. You know, and that's one of her fears, too, is what if she moves and she's not familiar, you know, what with her luck, she moves into another haunted house, you know?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, it's kind of better the devil you know than the devil you don't, because at least I know, you know, what to do and what not to do.
Right.
I know the rules of living in Delilah's space, you know?
Has she set rules with Delilah and try to communicate with her to say, you know, we can live together, but this is what has to happen. You know, I will respect you. You need to respect all of us, and you can't walk around pushing and, pushing people into walls or hitting them on the head. That's unacceptable. Did your parents ever do that, or did you ever do that with Delilah?
Well, here's the weird part. Dad never believed us. He lived in the exact same house, had really similar things happen to him, but He just, you know, he was one of these men's men, and ghosts didn't exist to a point.
Wow.
I think toward the end of his life, he came to it be more accepting, you know. But, I think mom's whole mantra is, if you leave me alone, I leave you alone. And, but, you know, it's still... Because most people still don't quite believe our stories, because unless you've experienced it, the family kind of scoffs at her still, because, like I said, things will still go missing. I mean, they're just gone.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, you know, you forgot where you put it at. Or that didn't really happen, or you just... And I'm like, it's not like that. I'm like, don't worry, I know the truth. It's okay. I was like, but you need to be firm with her. You need to tell her no is no. Stop. This is not okay. She's like, well, yeah, but I don't want to make her mad.
Yeah, that's she has shown her colors. That's really scary. I mean, it's like, I'm scared for you guys. That is terrifying. That's...
She's
oh my gosh.
I can always buy more shoes or more, you know. She's like, I have stuff. I'm okay if she moves something, because eventually she'll give it back, you know? So, and it happens all the time. Like, we were just talking, oh, Lord, last week. And I don't know, because, again, mom buys all kinds of stuff. Like, that's materials make her happy. So, you know, she only has a gazillion rags and a gazillion towels and a gazillion.
Mm-hmm. And needs a gazillion more.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if one, you know, bag goes missing, there's another two or three bags right there. And it's good. It works for her. And so she was talking about these pants that she wanted. And I said, well, Mom, I said, are you sure you didn't already buy them? I was like, could you have bought them and maybe, you know, just misplaced them? Because she was describing them perfectly. And she goes in there Saturday, and they're laying on the bed in the doll room, I might add, are two pair of the pants neatly folded on the end of the bed, like they were just set there as a present. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I was like, I don't know. That could be Dad. That could be Delilah. That could be.
Oh, my gosh. So do you guys always find your belongings, or does she just return them on her own when she's done with them? And if you find them, do you find them? Sorry if you heard that. That was Huey shaking out. He always has to be in the studio with me. So
yeah, of course, Mom.
I know. He's like, Mom. So when you do find your stuff, do you typically find it like in the same area, or is it like you kind of find it wherever, or what usually happens?
It depends. I mean, again, sometimes it depends on the energy in the house. So like there for a while, she was really upset with my dad. And so she would take one of his boots and put it outside, or it would be torn up in his garage. You know, I mean, she has been known to shred your stuff.
Oh, my God.
It all depends on how much import. Again, if you have a whole lot of importance to it, then, and she's mad, it's going to be shredded. I mean, just no ifs, ands, and buts. It's going to be taken care of.
Friends, that's a wrap on part one of All Things Scary with our fabulous friend to the show, Miss Shirley. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so, so much. Please don't forget to hang with me on Twitter at Media Matters and on Instagram at The Media Matters for even more love straight from me. And for a mega dose of all things behind the scenes, check out the show's sister content on YouTube on the So Chantel channel. It is seriously as behind the scenes as it gets. And while you're there, make sure you subscribe, click the notification bell so you get notified every time a new video goes live, and be sure to click like on those videos because all of that really supports my channel, and I mega, mega appreciate it. With that, you guys, we are donezo for the night, but we're back next week with an all-new episode of The Media Matters. Have no fear. Same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.